Welcome back. Hour number three. Happy St. Jean-Baptiste. We kick off your holiday weekend and your Friday afternoon evening with draft day and night, one of our favorite times of the year. It's even better for Mitch Gallo and Sean Campbell. They're actually in Chicago on the draft floor. Mitch Melnick, along with Dave Trentadue, sitting in for Rod Francis. And among those keeping Messrs. Gallo and Campbell company, Pierre Maguire.
Hockey insider Pierre Maguire, brought to you by Ye Olde Orchard Pub, with six locations in and around Montreal. YeOldOrchard.com.
Good afternoon, Pierre. How are you?
Boy, you must have had Gallo on a really short leash last night. He looks good down here today. Some of the guys don't look as good as him.
Yeah, I would say some of the 40-year-old plus, I'm going to guess. He's too young. It doesn't show up. It shows up later, like in your 50s and 60s.
Yeah, that's when you go to bed early, I think.
Yeah. You know what they did? They overindulged in food as opposed to drink yesterday.
He was talking about Morton's. He went over to Russian Division Street where the original Morton's is, so I think he probably got in a little trouble there. There's a term they call that area in Chicago. I just won't say it on the air.
How you doing?
I'm excellent.
This is one of your favorite days, right?
This is one of the most important days on the NHL calendar. Outside of when the Stanley Cup gets presented and probably the trade deadline, I would say this is the most important date on the NHL calendar.
Well, and as we've seen already and in recent seasons, this is turning into a big trade, not deadline, but a big trade activity weekend as well. So let's start there before we get to the nuts and bolts on what the Montreal Canadiens might do, Pierre. The Chicago Blackhawks, my goodness, I remember talking to you after Stan Bowman met the media and said, this is unacceptable, changes will be made, fired an assistant coach, fired a coach of the American Hockey League team, and clearly he was going after some players next.
Oh, yeah, there's no question. I think I tried to share that with you as soon as they got swept out by Nashville. I said, there are going to be major changes in Chicago, and it might not be the top name people, but there are going to be some sweeping changes, and it's already started. Well, first of all, let's touch on Brandon Saad coming back.
Yep.
He's played over 60 playoff games for the Chicago Blackhawks in his 3 years here. Artemi Panarin in 2 years played 11. Brandon Saad won two cups. Artemi Panarin went out in the first round 2 years in a row. Jonathan Toews, I don't think, really wanted to start the season playing on a line with Richard Panik and Nick Schmaltz. I just didn't see that being a fit. He wanted Saad back. You know, everybody's speculating, oh, Patrick Kane's going to be upset. No, he won't. Plus, Patrick Kane can play with anybody. He's got magic. Patrick Kane is a magical player. But I think the thing that really is different, and it's really important, the Marian Hossa thing, that really set Chicago back. I don't believe they were expecting that to happen, and it did. So they had to make an adjustment on the fly there. So Panarin for Saad, everybody's going to say, well, you know, the big thing is can Columbus get younger? They get better. They're about the same age. And then the other thing is Saad's contract's long-term. Panarin's going to need a contract. And they won't be able to keep everybody here, especially if Panarin keeps scoring the way he is. So I thought it was a good trade for Chicago, and it's a good move for Columbus as well.
Yeah, Brandon Saad, incredibly consistent. His last 3 years, 52, 53, 53 points, which includes a 31-goal season.
And he wasn't playing with Jonathan Toews the last two.
Right.
Wait till you get him with Toews. It's a big difference.
And he weighs more. He's a heavier guy.
He's a heavy player. That's the biggest thing is he's a heavy player. And they saw... They got pushed around by St. Louis in their seven-game loss 2 years ago, and Nashville's defense never let him get to the net. They didn't have anybody they could get to the net. And they missed, let's be honest, they missed Andrew Shaw, too.
Right.
Just to put a Montreal spin on it. They missed Andrew Shaw a lot.
All right, how about Nick Hjalmarsson for Connor Murphy and Laurent Dauphin?
I really like the deal again for Chicago because I know Connor Murphy's body of work really well. His father, Gord, was a tremendous player in the league, really, really reliable defenseman. Connor is a tremendous skater, very good with the puck, played almost 20 minutes a game in Arizona on a bad team and handled himself, I thought, really well. He was not really a bad minus. There were some guys in that team, terrible minuses. I think he was -5 or -6 last year, if I remember correctly, right in that neighborhood. But the biggest thing to me is they've got to get younger on defense. When they traded Nick Leddy away, they lost a little bit of their speed dynamic. Brian Campbell wasn't getting any younger when they got him back. Duncan Keith's not getting any younger. Brent Seabrook's not getting any younger. And Hjalmarsson's like Dan Girardi. He's a shot-blocking machine that's had a lot of injuries over time and played through them. So he's not going to last as long as you think. So I like that deal. Long-term for Chicago. Short-term, it might help Arizona. I don't know. It depends who he's going to play with, Hjalmarsson. because it's a totally different team than what he experienced in Chicago.
Tough to give up Connor. I like Connor a lot. He's a good kid, good person, and good player. So they got a good one as well. But obviously, with where we're at, we wanted Nick to come in, give us some stability there, and be a leader. And we think he'll do that for us.
There's John Chayka, the general manager of the Coyotes, who then gave up his first round pick, that's seventh overall, plus Anthony DeAngelo to the Rangers for Derek Stepan and Antti Raanta here.
Okay, this comes down to pro scouting. We'll see who's right and who's wrong. Derek Stepan is trending downward. He's got significant contract time at almost $6.5 million a year. He's trending downward.
And he's not a number one center.
No, my goodness gracious, no. On a really good team, he's probably a three. Let's put him in Chicago right now. Let's say he's part of the Chicago Blackhawks. He's not playing ahead of Jonathan Toews. He's not playing ahead of Artem Anisimov. He's playing as a three. Let's put him in Pittsburgh. He's not playing ahead of Crosby. He's not playing ahead of Malkin. He's probably not playing ahead of Bonino, and he may not play ahead of Cullen. Let's put him in Washington. He's not playing ahead of Backstrom. He's not playing ahead of Kuznetsov. Do you want me to keep going?
Well, if you came to Montreal, he might be number one.
But then you're not going to have a winning team. That's the thing. He is a good two. He's a great three.
Right.
That's what he is.
So do you think these moves that were made today, bang, 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 and who knows what's coming next, just hours after a quote-unquote mutual parting of the ways between Dave Tippett and the organization in Arizona were connected?
I don't know the fact of that or not, but I would say there has to be something to that. I think there's a few things. I'm pretty sure, Mitch Gallo, tell me if I'm wrong, we talked about it the other day. I wasn't impressed by how they dealt with the Shane Doan situation. I thought it was really poorly done. And I've talked to a lot of managers and coaches that are still shocked by how that was handled internally by their organization. That, I think, started the ball rolling down the hill. And I have to think, if they were running player personnel decisions by Dave, who knows the league as a coach, when you're down at ice level, you have a huge advantage over people that are watching from the press box. You just do, in terms of character, what guys say, how guys interact, a lot of things. I can't think Dave Tippett would have spoken up for those trades. I just can't believe that he would have.
Ray Ferraro, who was just with us from his home in Vancouver, referred to what they're doing as kind of, he says he kind of went through that in Atlanta. It's called a no-plan plan.
Oh, there's no question. I would agree with that. I mean, that's kind of what I've been trying to tell you. I didn't phrase it probably the same way, but I would agree with what Ray said. You're trying right now, and they if they're having pro scouts tell them over the course of over a year that we got to get Derek Stepan because he's a number one center, if they have pro scouts telling them that, if I were the owner there, I'd be looking at the depth of my pro scouting. I just would. I don't, you know, I'm just being honest with you, because I do a lot of, as you know, I do a ton of Ranger games. I bet you I watch every single Ranger game, but I do a ton of them. And Derek has been an amazingly hard worker. He's a grind. Everything you get out of him, he squeezes it out. He never gives you a bad effort. But the fact is he's not trending upward.
All right, before we get to the Habs, Mitch Gallo, anything you wanted to jump on there that we've been talking about with Pierre?
Well, I guess the total aspect of Arizona right now, because it just feels like they're trying to make their team better, but they have no direction, the no plan plan. But, Pierre, how much of this can the market take?
I don't know. I don't think very much. This is the biggest question. There'll always be somebody that will want to fill a job, Mitch Gallo and Mitch Melnyk. There'll always be a coach out there that's prepared to take on a challenge and a job. More times than not, those guys don't have a job. That being said, I don't know of any elite coach that's going to be in a rush to sign up to go there. I just don't know of any. There might be, but I don't know of any.
Do you think this apparent shift in direction here has anything to do with the presence now of Las Vegas?
Oh, it may. I would tell you this right now, in terms of structure and how things are put together, it's hard to argue with Vegas's plan versus Arizona's. Vegas's plan is solid. It's really solid. And you see how they orchestrated so many things. In terms of how they manipulated the expansion draft, I don't think Arizona, if they were given the same opportunity, would have done the same thing.
With Pierre McGuire on the draft floor, with Mitch Gallo, Sean Campbell, we'll talk to Mark Edwards, HockeyProspect.com, a little later. Claude Julien will talk to us live at 6:20. Full coverage at 7 with Simon Chalikas in studio with Gallo and Campbell on the floor for for the rest of the evening. Okay, Pierre, your buddy Ray Sherrow holds the number one pick. His team has been linked among, I would say, what, 75% of the league, I would think, to Alex Galchenyuk. Is there a fit there?
I don't know. I don't want to talk about pro trades. I don't think it's appropriate for me to talk about it. I'll talk about the draft today, and I'll talk about different things that New Jersey might do or potentially do, maybe what Dallas might do, maybe what Vegas might do. But in terms of fits, I can't really speak to what New Jersey's trying to do there, if anything, without.
Okay, but you would understand with the news out there that they're among the teams, and you look at their roster.
Yeah, there'll be a lot of teams. Minnesota's got to be one of those teams. I would say Colorado should be one of those teams. I would say maybe Detroit's one of those teams. I'd say there are a lot of teams that would want Alex Galchenyuk. I wouldn't say just New Jersey. I think the big question around New Jersey, I know it's probably not Montreal-centric, are they going to stay in the one hole or are they going to trade out of it? Because I can tell you right now, one of the fastest climbing players in terms of reputation right now is Cale Makar.
Defenseman.
He's a defenseman out of Brooks, Alberta. He's going to go to the University of Massachusetts at Amherst. His coach there is a young man that I know very well, Greg Carville. I recruited Greg Carville to play for me at St. Lawrence. I helped draft Greg Carville to the Pittsburgh Penguins. I had him speak at my wedding, and I wrote him a long recommendation to help get him the job at UMass Amherst. So I'm a big fan of the man. I know where the kid's going. I know how good the player is, and I know a lot of people are really super excited that kid's going to end up going to that school because that guy's a big-time coach. He coached under Mike Babcock. He coached in Ottawa as an assistant. He's a big-time coach. He's one of the better coaches, along with Norm Bazin, at UMass Lowell outside of the National Hockey League. So there's a lot of tie-ins with Makar to a lot of teams, but that's the question on Jersey. Do they want a forward or do they want a defenseman?
And the player is an offensive machine on the blue line, correct?
He's very good. He's very, very good, but he's way underrated defensively. He needs, and this is a big, you'll probably hear this a lot tonight, he needs at least 2 years before he's ready to try to make the jump to the NHL. But he's a very, very talented young man. Very talented.
But, Pierre, I'm going to try again without you revealing anything. But if Galchenyuk is linked specifically to New Jersey, among other teams, and every fan is looking at New Jersey's roster and they're going, there's not a fit here. So if it's not on the current roster necessarily, you can understand why we're wondering about whether it's a number one pick or a swap of picks or whatever. And then you have the whole Kovalchuk situation. Do you think that gets resolved one way or the other today?
No, I think Kovalchuk might be a little deeper unless it's going to be something that would be involved with the first pick overall. I think there's a couple teams that have an appetite to get up to one. Vegas is one of them because they want Nolan Patrick. Vegas wants Nolan Patrick. I can tell you that right now because Kelly McCrimmon had him with Brandon Wheatkings, and he's the assistant GM in Vegas, and George McPhee has given him a lot of rope to run with in terms of player procurement. Dallas would like to get to one. I think they have an appetite for Heischer, the scorer out of Halifax, because they lost Valeri Nichushkin, who went back, who's a former first-rounder, 12th overall, I believe.
Right.
So there's a couple teams that are trying to jockey to get up. I just talked to Trevor Linden from Vancouver. I think if they could, they would like to get up as well. So Jersey's got a big card to play. I think Philadelphia is really happy in the two-hole because they really want to get Nolan Patrick. Ronnie Hextall played in Brandon. Ronnie Hextall knows the family really well, and they need a centerman. They lost Pierre-Edward Belmar. They want, and they think he could be a legit second center behind Giroux and potentially pass Giroux down the road. So there's a lot of permutations. I just want to be fair to the fans listening to this. This draft has some really consistent players in it. It doesn't have the shock value generational player that we're used to seeing come into the draft and come into the league. And from the 10th pick probably to the 35th pick, there's really no differentiating between players. So it depends on what your fancy is. Do you like physical guys? Do you like slower guys with hands? Do you like fast guys with no hands? That's the kind of draft it is, Mitch, from the 10th pick on. It really is.
Yeah, stay away from the fast guys with no hands. Mitch Gallo, go ahead.
Well, you mentioned the maneuvering of Vegas, and it's hard not to look at the board and see that they're drafting 6, 10 and 15, when you have three picks in a draft that you're mentioning has consistent players, but maybe not the shock value type of player that we've seen in past drafts, what do you think they'd like to do? Do you think they'd like to use all three, or can they use the three to couple it into something
else?
They
might be able to use 6 and 13 to get up along with another asset to get to one. They might be able to, but I think that would be a reach. I think that just, again, the other teams know what I'm telling you, and what I'm telling you is it's not an overly deep draft. It's not a draft, Mitch Melnick, that's full of second and third line players. It's a draft that's full of some third liners, a lot of good depth players, some really good depth defensemen, a couple standouts, but not a ton. It's a maturation draft. It's going to take time for this thing to really fester, for a lot of these players to really get in the league and get comfortable.
Mitch, you want to ask Pierre about a familiar name that you threw out earlier in the show on the blue line?
Yeah, it was Callan Foote, Adam Foote's son. I'm looking at trying to replace at least the type of player that Sergachev is, and I haven't seen
not even in the same.
I just look at the size, Pierre, and I see 6'4", 210 pounds, and he's the son of obviously a great NHL.
Yeah, no, he might be the son, but he's not the same player. He has huge feet. He wears a size 16.5 skate.
Whoa!
He does.
That might be bigger than Matthew Dandino.
They're right. I would say close. I think Dandy was at 14.5. I think Matthew was at 14.5. Huge, huge, huge feet. Doesn't move around the rink great. Physical, obviously, very strong. Will probably play at 225 pounds, but he's not his father. And so I think people that are trying to equate the two, that would be unfair to the young man. It would be unfair to Cal.
Dave Trentadue here has been with us all week, and I figured we'd wait for today to have. I know Dave has a question. I'm sure he's got a question for Pierre at this point about the draft or anything else, Dave. Or maybe he doesn't.
Is there anyone from the first round that really jumps out at you that maybe people aren't looking at? Maybe like an unsung player?
Sleeper.
Well, Casey Mittelstadt. Casey Mittelstadt played for Edina High School. Eden Prairie High School in Minnesota. And then he went and played for the Green Bay Gamblers in the USHL, basically got them into the playoffs. He's a fantastic athlete. He's got world-class speed. Some people think he should go in the top five. I think he'll probably go between 5 and 10. He's one of those that's not getting nearly enough attention. The other one is Michael Rasmussen. He's 6'6". He's a sleeper, big sleeper. He's got tremendous, tremendous hands. He's very smooth for a 6'6" player. So that's another one that's out there. And one that is a coach's son, and his dad was drafted by the Quebec Nordiques in the fourth round, I believe, way back when I was doing it. Elias Andersson, he's from Sweden. He does everything well. He doesn't make any mistakes, but he's not a first or second line player. He's just a solid, very reliable player. He'll go in the first round. He'll go in the first round, and I'll give you one depth defenseman that everybody, I think, needs to pay attention to. Erik Brännström, a kid from Sweden. He's a lot like Tobias Enström from the Winnipeg Jets. He's built like that, but he can shoot the puck a ton harder. And a lot of people think if he fills into his body, which he probably will over the next 2 to 3 years, he's got a chance to be in your 3-4 tandem on the back end. So that's a pretty good player.
I think Mark Edwards, who's coming up from Hockey Prospects, got him in the top 15. We'll talk to Mark in a few minutes. Pierre,
well, there you go. That's how volatile this draft is. I'll give you an example. I will not tell you the player's name. I talked to the head of scouting of a team at 6:30 this morning, and I said, what do you think of this player? And I can't tell you his name just because of confidentiality. He goes, our guys have him rated first overall. Okay? Mm-hmm. I'm just telling you, this is what the guy, he says, we have him rated first overall. If we were picking first, we'd take this player. So I called up, right after I hung up with this guy, I called up another director of pro scouting. I said, where do you have this guy? He goes, we have him at about 25.
One to 25.
So one has them at number one. They're both very reputable hockey people. Trust me when I tell you, high-end hockey people. And one has them at around 25. Now, that's how volatile this thing is. I'm just telling you.
All right, a couple of things. I think Director of Hockey Ops Colin Campbell said today that they're looking at a penalty for a challenge that doesn't work out on the offsides.
That's correct.
Do you think?
I like it.
Okay, explain why you like it.
Because now you have to be 100% right before you challenge. If you're not right, it's going to cost you. It's going to be a draconian penalty. And you're not going to make that mistake late in the game, especially in a tight game. So I kind of like that. The other thing is, obviously, now they're aware of what I've been talking to you about for a long time. the slashing epidemic that's going around the National Hockey League. It's an epidemic, and now they're aware of it, and I think you're going to see zero tolerance on slashing. Zero, just like we had an obstruction, hooking and holding,
yep.
I think you're going to see zero tolerance on slashing.
Jack Capuano, named the associate coach with Florida, the Panthers, also made the Chris Pronger news official.
Yeah, that's good stuff. I'm happy for both guys. I think Chris is going to do extremely well, really, really well down there. He's one guy that never stopped watching hockey games. You know, I sit down and talk to Mark Recchi about hockey, and he knows everything that going on in every organization. I sit down and talk with Christopher. You know, they're two players I had a chance to coach, and both of them, they watch tons and tons and tons of hockey. And if you want to do this, you got to have the passion to do it. And you got to watch a ton of hockey, and you got to talk to a lot of people, and you got to want to be in the rink. And Christopher wants to do that, so I'm happy for him. Capuano's a solid coach. He's a solid, solid coach.
So many rumors involving Matt Duchene out there, but I'm curious if you think that perhaps Colorado ends up moving either in addition to or just as a separate deal. Somebody else, another one of their high-profile guys.
Well, I don't want to talk about names, as I've told you before, because you just don't think it's
fair. I know,
fair.
But we're at the end of the conversation,
I know,
I'm trying to get to...
No, I understand totally.
You know no, I'm not going to revisit this.
No, but you're well within your rights. Duchene's name is out there.
You're saving it. You're right.
No, Duchene's name is out there, so I have no problem talking about him. I would be surprised if he started the season with the Colorado Avalanche next year. I would absolutely be totally shocked. I know three teams minimum. Three that are trying to get him.
And
the
Pierre,
other one I can.
I'm sorry, Pierre. We got breaking news via the Washington Capitals. TJ Oshie is apparently staying in Washington for 8 years.
Yeah, that's not a surprise. Ooh. I told you they were keeping him. That's no surprise. It's how the deal is structured. That's the key. How's the deal structured?
All right, so much for that he's going to end up in Chicago and taking less money story.
Who said that?
Well, Gallo, you mentioned it.
Who told you that?
People were just trying to make connections.
No. Can you tell Dave Trenadue? I told you this as soon as the playoffs were over. TJ Oshie's staying in Washington.
Yeah.
I mean,
get the tape, Dave.
Please. stop. If I don't know something, I'm going to tell you. I don't know. But when I know something, I'm going to tell you, too. And the one thing I can tell you, he wasn't going anywhere.
All right. So, Radulov, between 3 and 6 years, is he staying in Montreal or do they end up moving him? Is right.
That I don't know.
Okay.
That's why I can't answer. I just don't know the answer to that. It comes down to, I think we talked about this before on term for him. It's not so much the money. You kind of know where the money's going to come out with him. It's the term. I wouldn't be prepared to go more than 5 years. I say that with respect. I would be very afraid of going long term.
All right.
Five.
Final one from Mitch Gallo, who's down there with you along with Sean Campbell. If you want it to be hockey, fine. If you want it to be a scouting report on some establishment for tomorrow for post draft or tomorrow, go ahead.
No, just pure the two defensemen that we keep hearing about. Travis Hamonic.
He's not talking trades. Come on.
No, but their names are out there, so I have no problem. Once the name is out there, I have no problem, but I'm not going to address things that I might know that it's not appropriate for me to talk about.
Hamonic's been out there, his name, for 2 years.
Yeah, he has to be traded, so that's no problem. I don't know why they're in a rush. I talked to a scout of the Islanders before all these people got here. We were the first two people here. I got here at 1:30 today. I was sitting on the floor with this scout from the Islanders, who's a friend of mine. I said, what is the rush to trade Travis Hamonic? And he goes, I don't know if we're in a rush or not, but we're trading him. I go, why are you in a rush to trade him? Who's better than him on your defense? This is what I didn't understand about their list. Do they think Adam Pellick is better than Travis Hamonic? Do they think Ryan Pulock is better than Travis Hamonic? Travis Hamonic's contract's not draconian. It's not like squeezing the life out of their salary cap. I don't get it. I don't get it at all.
But would you give up two firsts?
To get him? One in this draft and then maybe one in 18. I wouldn't give up a pick past 18. Maybe one in this one and one in the next one, but not any more than that.
And the other name that's been out there has been Scandella.
Marco, I think, will be moved as well. I had two teams actually call me about him. All I can tell you about Marco, this is my own personal scouting report, plays big, not intimidated, really improved offensively this year, has a heavy shot, very good teammate, will never cause you a problem. You'd want him in your dressing room. You'd want him on your bench. You'd want him on your ice surface wearing your sweater. He's a guy you can win with. I'm a big, big fan.
Were you in the Lotus position when you were sitting on the draft floor?
No, I was. I wasn't sitting. I was standing.
You said you were sitting. You said you were sitting on the draft floor. I mean, you.
I was standing. I'm about to go back out there and stand on it too, again. You don't really don't sit on the draft floor till you get to the draft time. By the way, if you're going to be watching tonight, Jim Cornelison is singing the anthem. I heard him do it in French and in English. He was unbelievable. He's a guy that sings it here in Chicago all the time. It is awesome. It's not good. It's awesome. Best anthem I've heard since Roger Doucet.
Yeah, we heard him actually warming up, and we had to stop because he was getting to the end and hitting that note, that long note at the end. It was spectacular.
Well, I'm saying this just because I'm a lifelong Canadiens fan, and Roger Doucet sang the best anthem ever. To show you how much people thought of Roger Doucet, Scotty Bowman, when we were coaching in Pittsburgh together, called Mrs. Doucet. Roger had passed away. Roger had passed away. And Scotty asked Mrs. Doucet if we could use his anthem on tape before our games. And we played his anthem, his rendition of the anthem, for Pittsburgh Penguin games until Christina Aguilera at 14 years of age came in to sing it live and in color. We used Roger Doucet's anthem until we had Christina Aguilera do it.
I never knew that. Never knew that.
That is true.
Wow. I knew about the Aguilera part, but I didn't know that you guys had Roger Doucet. So Scotty called Geraldine Doucet for permission, and of course she must have been thrilled.
She was thrilled. I think Scotty and Roger had a really good relationship too, which was great.
Thanks as always, Pierre. Wish I was down there, but we'll be watching, and have yourself a terrific weekend. We'll talk wrap it up on Monday.
We're not going to keep going to free agency?
No, I mean we'll wrap up the draft weekend.
Oh, wrap up the draft weekend. I got you. I thought you were cutting
No. We'd never do that.
I was getting a little worried there. I'm really surprised Mitch Gallo that Oshie signed in Washington. It's shocking.
8 years locked up TJ Oshie. All right.
The key on that is to see how it's structured.
Right.
See how the dollars come out, because I'm sure that it's probably structured in a very formidable way. But that's well done by them. Not surprised.
Scared Pierre away.